والآن كلمة توجيهية من سماحة الشيخ، ثم بإذن الله تعالى سنعرض عليه مما لدينا من الأسئلة. والآن
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد أشرف الأنبياء وأشرف المرسلين، وعلى آله وعلى صحابته أجمعين، وعلى التابعين وتابعيهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، إخوتي في جمعية القرآن والسنة في نيويورك بالولايات المتحدة، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، وأسأل الله لي ولكم التوفيق والسداد والعون على كل خير. اجتمعنا بمكة شرفها الله ورابع الشمع سمع بكم في شهر شعبان، وسنجتمع إن شاء الله في هذه السنة توفيق من الله، وأرجو لكم من الله التوفيق والسداد. ومن نعمة الله على المسلمين وجود هذه الوسيلة التي تقرب البعيد وتصل المسلم بإخوانه المسلمين رغم بعد المسافة، ولكن كما قال الله ويخلق ما لا تعلمون، فقد خلق الله تلك الوسائل ويسرها لكي تقوم الحجة على العباد، فإن هذه الوسائل تنقل المعلومة لأقطار الدنيا، فسبحان القادر على كل شيء، وإنها آلات وأجهزة وعدات تدل على عظمة الخالق وقدرته على كل شيء.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salat and the salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and companions. He said, "My brothers of the Quran and the Sunnah Society of New York, I extend my salam to you and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you success and steadfastness and that you help one another upon all that is good. This is the fourth time that I am gathering with you, and inshallah ta'ala we will gather again by the success of Allah. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us that success and steadfastness upon the truth. It is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Muslims is that He facilitated for them this medium that brings together people who are physically distant from each other. It allows the Muslim to stay in contact with his Muslim brothers despite the great distances that are between them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what translated means, and He creates what you know not, or what you know not of. He created and facilitated this medium in a way that it would be a proof, or in a way that would establish the proof upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servants. Indeed, these mediums propagate information to all corners of the world. So subhanallah, who has the ability to do anything that he wills. And in these devices, or these devices highlight the tremendous ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create what he wills.
Ikhwani في جمعية القرآن والسنة، أحب أن أحدثكم عن وصية وصى بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحد أصحابه، فقال لمعاذ بن جبل: اتق الله حيث ما كنت، وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. إخوتي، وصايا ثلاث، فلننصت إليها ولنتأمل فيها ولنحرص على تدبرها وتطبيقها على أنفسنا وفي واقعنا، لأن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم أعطي جوامع الكلم واختصر له الكلام اختصارا، فكلامه قليل اللفظ كثير المعاني، الألفاظ يسيرة والمعاني عظيمة، الألفاظ يسيرة والمعاني والمغازي بعيدة، كل هذا من كمال بيانه صلى الله عليه وسلم. فأكمل الناس بيانا أقلهم لفظا مع الإفادة، وأكثرهم كلاما أقلهم فائدة، فسبحان الحكيم العليم. ولذا إذا تأملت خطبه صلى الله عليه وسلم وجدتها موجزا في ألفاظها، ولكن المعاني والغايات والمقاصد عظيمة جدا لمن تدبر وتعقل وتأمل. فكتاب الله وسنة رسوله وهما مصدر الوحي للشريعة الإسلامية كلها هكذا، ألفاظ قليلة ومعاني عظيمة وفوائد لا تحصر. فلنأخذ هذه الوصية فقرة بعد أخرى، فلنقف عندها وقفات ثلاثة.
My brothers and sisters of the Quran and Sunnah Society of New York, I would like to talk to you about an advice that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to one of the companions, who is Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. He said, O Mu'adh, fear Allah wherever you may be. And if you fall into sin, or if you fall into a sin, then follow it up with a hasana, a good deed, and it would erase it. And behave with good mannerisms towards the people. My brothers and sisters, these are only three pieces of advice. We must listen to them, contemplate over them, be keen upon pondering over them and implementing them in ourselves as well as in our daily lives. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given jawami' al-kalim, meaning he had the ability to speak with a few words, a few concise words that had great meanings behind them. He spoke with simple and few words, simple concise words that carried great and tremendous meanings behind them. And all of this is from the perfection of his message, or the perfection of delivering his message. And he was the most perfect of people in clarifying and explaining the message. And the people, with a little bit of speech or a few words, these words usually have a lot of meanings, while people who speak a lot with many words, their words usually have little meaning. And this is why if we contemplate over the sermons of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would find that they are concise in their wordings, but their meanings are tremendous for those who contemplate and ponder over them. And the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are likewise. They consist of few words that bear tremendous meanings and benefits that cannot be encompassed. So let's take this advice phrase by phrase. So we are going to speak about it in three parts, one after the other.
مع قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيث ما كنت. اتق الله حيث ما كنت، أي إلزم تقوى الله حيث ما وجدت، تحت أي سماء كنت وفوق أي أرض كنت. اتق الله حيث ما كنت، رآك الناس أم غابوا عنك، اطلعوا عليك أم اختفيت عنهم، أين كنت، في ليلك، في نهارك، في سرك، في علانيتك، اتق الله أينما كنت، مع الناس أو وحدك، في مسجدك، في مصنعك، في مزرعتك، وأنت على فراشك، في بيتك، مع أولادك، مع زوجتك، مع عمالك، مع خدمك، اتق الله أينما حيثما كنت. فتقوى الله قرينك في حياتك كلها، تقوى الله قرينك في أحوالك كلها، ليكن التقوى قرينك في أحوالك كلها، ليقوى الارتباط بالخالق وتقوى الصلة بالرب، ويكون المسلم على صلة بربه دائما وأبدا. إنه يحقق هذه الوقفة عندما يتأمل حقا ويعلم أن الله مطلع عليه وعلى سره وعلى نيته، لا يخفى عليه شيء منه. وما تكون في شأن وما تتلو منه من قرآن ولا تعملون من عمل إلا كنا عليكم شهودا إذ تفيضون فيه. وما يعزب عن ربك من مثقال ذرة في الأرض ولا في السماء ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر إلا في كتاب مبين.
The first, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have taqwa, have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. What this means is that you must adhere to and be steadfast upon the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you find yourself, under whichever sky you find yourself under, over whichever land you find yourself over. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Whether people are around you or you are alone, whether people can see you or you are hidden from them, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are, whether it is in the day or the night, whether you are alone in private or you are in public. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are, whether you are with people or by yourself, whether you are at work or in a factory or in your farm or in your bed or in your home with your kids or with your wife or with your employees or with your servants. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Taqwa is your companion throughout your lifetime. Taqwa is your companion in all circumstances, so your relationship with the Creator, your Lord, would be strengthened and can be strengthened. So a Muslim must have a strong relationship with his Lord always and forever. And what would bring this point to a reality is when you truly contemplate and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you, whether you're in private or in public, and there is nothing that you do that is hidden from Him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what translated means, you are not in any state, whether you are reciting the Quran or any other action that you do, except that we are witnesses over you. And nothing is hidden from your Lord, even as small as an atom's weight, in the earth or in the skies, in the heavens, whether it is smaller than that or larger than that, except that it is in a clear and manifest book, or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
اتق الله حيث كنت وحيث وجدت، في رخائك وفي عسرك، في مرضك وفي صحتك، في سفرك وفي إقامتك، ليكن التقوى ملازما لك لربك، لأن إيمانك الحق يدعوك إلى أن تعتقد أن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء من أحوالك. قل إن تخفوا ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله، ويعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، والله على كل شيء قدير. إن الله يعلم غيب السماوات والأرض، والله بصير بما تعمل. فاتق الله حيثما كنت، اتق الله حيثما كنت، اتق الله في أي عمل كنت، اتق الله في صلاتك، واتق الله في زكاتك، واتق الله في صومك وحجك، واتق الله في الأبوين، واتق الله في الأولاد والزوجة، واتق الله في الصحن، واتق الله في الجيران، واتق الله في الخدم، واتق الله في من تعامله، واتق الله في بيعك، واتق الله في شرائك، واتق الله فيما أؤتمنت عليه، واتق الله في كل أحوالك أينما كنت. ولذا قال الله، ولقد وصينا الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم وإياكم أن اتقوا الله.
So have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are, wherever you find yourself. whether it is times of ease or times of hardship, whether you are ill or you are upon good health, whether you are traveling or whether you are not. Taqwa is always with you. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there with you. Because your true iman, the true iman within you, would call you to know that there is nothing of your state or of your state or your actions that are hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah Jalla fi'ullah said, say, if you conceal what is within your hearts or reveal it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it, and He knows whatsoever is in the heavens and in the earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. And He Jalla wa Ala said, what translated means, indeed Allah knows the unseen of the heavens and the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful of everything that you do, or whatever, or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. So fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every action that you do. Fear Allah in your salah. Have taqwa of Allah in your zakat. Fear Him in your fasting. Fear Him in your relationship with your parents, with your wife, with your children, with your relatives, with your neighbors, with your servants. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dealings that you have with people, in your trade, whether you are buying or selling. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever people have put you in charge of. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have advised those who were given the book before you, as well as yourselves, to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تبعها. الوقفة الثانية، إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرنا أن نتبع السيئات القولية والفعلية بالحسنات القولية والفعلية لتمحو حسناتنا سيئاتنا، لتمحو حسناتنا سيئاتنا مع التوبة النصوح إلى الله. والتائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له، والتوبة جنب ما قبلها. والله وعد التائبين بقوله أولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. وهو القائل وأقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين. إذن فلنتبع السيئة الحسنة لتمحوها، فإن الحسنات إذا كثرت تغلبت على السيئات. فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية، وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية. ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا، وإن كان مثقال حبة من خردل أتينا بها وكفى بنا حاسبين.
And follow a sin with a good deed. And this is the second point. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam ordered us to follow our sins with good deeds, whether these sins are in our speech or sins in our actions. And so the good deeds would erase the evil deeds. They would erase the sins. And this is with sincere tawbah, sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever repents to Allah is as one who has never sinned, who has never sinned to begin with. And tawbah erases everything that came before it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the glad tidings to those who practice tawbah, where He says, what translated means, those are whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would replace their evil deeds with good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, most forgiving. And He Jalla wa Ala said, what translated means, establish the prayers in both ends of the day and during the night. Indeed, good deeds erase sins. And this is a reminder for those who remember. So follow up every sin with a good deed. And if the good deeds become plentiful and are many, they would overwhelm the sins. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as for the one whose scale of good deeds is heavy or heavier, then he would have a pleasing life, meaning in Jannah. And as for those whose scale of good deeds are lighter, then for them is the hellfire. And Allah Jalla fi'ula said, what translated means, and we will place the just scales on the day of resurrection. So no person would be oppressed in anything at all. If there were an atom's weight, then we would bring it forth, and sufficient are we as a counters.
ثالثا الوقفة الثالثة وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. هذه الوصية الثالثة لما أمره بتقوى الله في نفسه، فأمره أيضا بأن يتبع السيئة الحسنة. عند ذلك أمره بالثالثة وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. فالأول تعلق بربك، والثاني بنفسك وإصلاحها، والثالث بما بينك وبين الخلق. قال تعالى، قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: خالق الناس بخلق الحسن. كيف تخالقهم بالخلق الحسن؟ تخالقهم بالمحبة ومودة الخير لهم وكف الشر والأذى عنهم، تحترم دماءهم وأموالهم وأعراضهم. ثانيا تتحمل بعض ما يخطئون عليك، فتحلم على الجاهل وتعرض عن السبيل، تعطي من حرمك، تصل من قطعك، تعفو عن من ظلمك، تقول الحق وتترفع عن فاحش الأقوال وبذيئها وسقطها. وقل لعبادي يقول التي هي أحسن، إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم، إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عدوا مبينا. وقولوا للناس حسنا، وقولوا للناس حسنا، فحسن القول يقرب القلوب ويجمع الكلمة، وقبح القول يبعد القلوب ويغر الصدور ويسبب العداوة والبغضاء. والدعاة إلى الله إذا حسنت أخلاقهم ولان اتباعهم ونظروا للناس نظرة الرحمة والإحسان، سمع الناس قولهم وأقبلوا عليهم واستفادوا منهم وتأثروا بهم، ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كان أحسن الناس أخلاقا وأحسنهم طباعا وأحسنهم تعاملا في كل أحواله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولذا قال الله له: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وكان القرآن خلقه يحل حلاله، يحرم حرامه، يؤمن يعمل بمحكمه ويمشى به صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. فلنخالق الناس بالأخلاق الحسنة، فإن الأخلاق الحسنة تزيل الشحناء والعداوة. ادفع بالتي هي أحسن، فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا، وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. أسأل الله أن يوفقني وإياكم لصالح القول وصالح العمل، وأن يهدينا جميعا سواء السبيل، ويخرجنا من الظلمات إلى النور. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبد الله ورسوله محمد.
The third piece of advice that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave was behave with good manners towards the people. So this is the third point of advice. The first was to have taqwa, to have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is that he ordered us to follow up the sins with the good deeds, which would then erase the sins. And the third is that we behave towards the people with good and beautiful mannerisms. So the first piece of advice is related to our Lord. The second piece of advice is related to ourselves and rectifying our own selves. And the third piece of advice is related to how we interact with other people. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam advised, saying, behave towards the people with good and beautiful manners. And how does one do so? How does one behave towards the people with good manners? He has love for them. He wishes good for them. He does not harm them and does not wish any harm for them. He respects the sanctity of their blood, their wealth, and their reputations. He is kind to them. He is patient upon the harms that they give to him. He is good and kind to the ignorant. He turns away from the foolish. He gives those who have prevented him. He enjoins the ties of those who have cut him off. He forgives those who have oppressed him. He says the truth, and he raises himself over saying vile and evil and filthy words. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what translated means, and tell my servants to say that which is good or that which is better. Indeed, the shaitan moves between them. Indeed, shaitan is a manifest enemy to mankind. And he, Jalla wa ala, says what translated means, and say good to the people. So good speech brings the hearts together, and it unifies the people. And evil and bad speech distances the hearts, and boils the blood, and causes enmity and hatred between the people. And the callers to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if their manners are good, and they behave with beautiful manners, and they are kind and lenient towards the people, and they look towards the people with the look of mercy and beneficence, then the people would listen to them, and turn to them, and benefit from them, and be affected by them. Allah Jalla fi'ula says, that is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah bestows his favor upon whom He wills, and Allah is ever bountiful. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of people in mannerisms and behavior, and in his dealings with all people in all states, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him, indeed you are upon an exalted state of character. And the Qur'an was his character. And he behaved with the Qur'an. He made halal what it made halal. He made haram what it made haram. He made impermissible what it made permissible. He made impermissible what it made impermissible. And he made permissible what it made permissible. And he acted upon it and he implemented sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says here, behave towards the people with good manners. And this would remove hatred and enmity between the people. As Allah Jalla fi'ala says, repel with goodness evil, so that the one who has enmity towards you, or there is enmity between you and him, would be as a close friend to you. And it is only those with patience that would attain this, and it is only those who were given a great portion that would attain this. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success in all that is good, and grant us success in acting upon righteous actions and saying righteous speech, and that He guide us all to the straight path, and that He removes us from the darkness to the light. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.
Ahsanallahu ilaykum wa jazakumullahu khayra. Al'an na'rij alaykum as'ila habibakumullah indana
tafadhal.
هذا سؤال يقول هل يصعب عليه قراءة القرآن باللغة العربية وأيضا لا يفهم اللغة العربية فما نصيحتكم له
وأيضا والله يا أخي
هل يؤجر على قراءته باللغة الإنجليزية فقط
والله القرآن معلوم أن الله يسره الله يقول ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر فعليه أن يقرأ بالعربية قدر جهده وأن يحرص على يتعلمه فإن تعلمه وجاءه معلم يعلمه فأرجو أن يكون بأسرع وقت يحسنطق به ولو كان لا ينطق العربية لأن أمر القرآن عجيب اللهم يسر التلاوة وحفظه ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر قال بعض السلف هل من قارئ للقرآن فيعان على قراءته.
The questioner asks, Noble Sheikh, it is difficult for me to read the Quran in Arabic and I do not even understand Arabic. So what do you advise? And will I be rewarded for reading it in English? And the Sheikh Hafidhullah Ta'ala responded saying, it is known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Quran easy to recite. For He said, indeed, we have made the Quran easy to recite, so is there anyone, or to remember, so is there anyone who would remember. So it is upon him to read it in Arabic. and it is upon him to be keen on learning the Arabic in order for him to read it in Arabic. And if he is taught, then I pray that it will be as soon as possible, even if this person is not proficient in Arabic, because the Quran is truly tremendous. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed we have made the Quran easy to remember, so is there anyone who would remember? And some of the Salaf said, is there anyone who would read the Quran so that we may help him, or so that he may be helped in his recital?
أحسن الله إليكم وجزاكم الله خيرا. هذه السائلة تقول المرأة والديها أن تخلع زوجها وحصل ذلك، وبعد 3 سنوات قبل والديها أن تتزوج، فهل يجوز لزوجها السابق الرجوع إليها وكيف يكون ذلك؟
إذا خالعها بلفظ الخلع قال خلعتك على أن تردي العوض علي فخلعها، فإن هذا الخلع بمجرد الخلع ليس ما طلاق، فإذا ما أراد العودة إليها فليكن بعقد جديد ومهر جديد.
The sister asked saying, my parents ordered me to get my husband to give me a khul'ah, and I did. And after 3 months after that, my parents agreed for me to marry my husband or my ex-husband again. Is it permissible to do so, and how do we go about doing this? The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said, if your husband gave you a khul'ah by saying, I give you a khul'ah, and this of course is in Arabic, and it's being translated, but if he said with the lafz, I give you a khul', or with the wording I give you a khul', it is upon you to return the mahr back to him. And this kind of talaq is not it's not considered to be a talaq, it's not considered to be a divorce. So it is permissible for you to go back to him with a new contract of marriage and a new dowry.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. هذا السائل يقول هل يجوز الصلاة في غرفة فيها مجسمات مثل تحف ودمي إذا غطيت ببتانية أو بشيء ما؟
المهم ألا تكون في قبلة المصلي حتى لا تشغل قلبه عن حضور في الصلاة، فإن مغطاة أو خلف ظل لا بأس، لكن لا تكون مكش أمامه فيشتغل قلبه تلك الرسومات ويلهو عن صلاة.
The questioner asks, is it permissible to pray in a room with statues or drawings, even if we cover these with blankets or sheets? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that what is important is that they are not towards your Qibla, so that they do not distract you from your prayer. So they must not be in front of you, so that you may not be distracted by these statues or pictures in your salah.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. هذا السائل يقول لقد ذكر ابن القيم الجوزية في كتابه المدارج أن الإمام ابن تيمية أقسم أن تتارك المحبون خلال 3 أيام، وقال أن هذا مكتوب باللوح المحفوظ، كيف يكون لابن تيمية أن يقول ذلك إذا كان ذلك من علم الغيب؟ أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
الشيخ تقي الدين لا يدعي علم الغيب وحاشاه من ذلك، لكنه يأخذ من قول الله جل وعلا أذن للذين يقاتلون بأنهم ظلموا وإن الله على نصرهم لقدير، وقوله جل وعلا وكان حقا علينا نصر المؤمنين، وقال ولينصرن الله من ينصره إن الله لقوي عزيز. فلما كانت تتروا إذاك أهل ظلم وعدوان وبغي وفساد في الأرض، والله لا يحب الفساد، وقد خرج المسلمون لهم الموحدون المخلصون الصادقون مجاهد سبيل الله قاصدون نصرة الإسلام وحماية الأوطان والأهل من الضلال، فشيخ الإسلام يقسم ثقة بالله واعتمادا على الله لا والله يدعي الغيب، ولكن من باب الثقة بالله والاعتماد عليه والتصديق بوعده أنه ناصر أولياء العباد والمؤمنين، وكان حقا علينا نصر المؤمنين، فأقسم بذلك ثقة بالله جل وعلا.
The questioner asks, I read in the book Madarij by Ibn al-Qayyim that he said that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah took an oath that the Tatar would be defeated in 3 days, and that this is written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. So how could he say this while it is from the unseen and he does not know this? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala responded saying, Shaykh al-Islam Rahimahullah would never say that he knows the unseen, and he is above this type of speech that he says that he is from the unseen. However, he benefited or he derived from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those who are oppressed have been permitted to fight back, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all able to grant them victory. And the statement of Allah jalla fi'ula, and it is upon us to grant victory to the believers. And the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah would grant victory to those who grant victory or support His deen. And indeed Allah is Almighty. So at that time the Tatar were the oppressors, and they were transgressing, and they were causing corruption upon the land. So the believers went out to face them, the sincere amongst them, those seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking that that Islam is uppermost, and seeking to defend Islamic lands. So Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah took an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not saying that he sees the unseen, rather it is due to his great trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's not saying that he sees the unseen and that he knows that this will happen, rather it is his great trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his great dependence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and believing in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would grant victory to the believers and victory to his awliya. So based upon this great trust and great dependence, he took an oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant them victory.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. وهذا سائل يقول ما عقاب المرأة الذي لا يعتقد بوجوب الحجاب ولا يأمر زوجته وبناته بارتدائه؟ أفيدونا بارك.
المسلم لعقاب الله التقيه يتذكر قول الله يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يمرون. فعليه أن يأمر بناته بتقوى الله والمحافظة على الصلوات والحجاب والبعد عن أماكن السوء ويربيهن التربية الصالحة. وأرجو من الله أن يوفق ويعان على خير.
The questioner asks, what is the state of a person who does not believe in the obligation of hijab and does not order his wife or his daughters to put on the hijab? And the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala said, it is upon this man to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Muslim that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would look at the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O you who believe, save yourselves and your family from a fire whose fuel is people and stones. Upon it are severe and harsh angels that do not disobey Allah and do as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders. So it is upon him to order his daughters to have taqwa of Allah, to order his daughters to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to put on the hijab, and to distance themselves from all evil places, and to raise them with a proper upbringing. And I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him success in doing so.
أحسن الله إليكم. هذا السائل يقول لو نسي المصلي أن يقول سبحان ربي العلى في سجوده وقال سبحان ربي العظيم ثم تذكر وصحح نفسه فهل صلاته صحيحة؟ أفيدونا بارك.
إذا قال سبحان ربي العلى ولو بعدما قال قيران فإنه أدى الواجب.
The questioner asks, if a person forgets to say سبحان ربي العلى, if a person forgets to say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la in his sujood and instead says Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, then he remembers this and then says it correctly, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Is his salat correct or not? The Shaykh Hafidhullah says, if he said Subhana Rabbi al-A'la in his sujood even after he said something else, then he has done what was obligated upon him. So his salat is correct.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. هذا السائل يقول إذا كنت مستثمر بمشروع تجاري فهل دفع الزكاة على العائد من الاستثمار
على رأس المال والعائد.
The questioner asks, if I am investing in something, is the zakat to be paid on my profit? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said, the zakat is to be paid on your the money as well as the profit. The money that you invested as well as the profit.
نعم جزاكم الله خيرا. وهذا سؤال يقول هل يعتبر الخلع يعتبر أحد الطلقات الثلاث؟ وما عدة المرأة التي قال لها زوجها طالق مرتين وطلبت الخلع المرأة ثالثة؟ وهل هناك
الخلع هذا الأمر؟ الخلع لا يعتبر طلاق. لو تكرر الخلع أربع مرات لا يسمى طلاق. إذا وقع بلفظ الخلع فلا يسمى طلاقا. وإذا قال أنت طالق فعدتها ثلاث حيض بأن تطرمي الحيض الثالثة.
A questioner is asking, is khul' one of the three talaqs? And what is the sister, what is the idda of a sister or a woman who was given a khul' the third time and divorced twice? What is her idda period? So she was divorced twice and in the third time she was given a khul'. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said, the khul' is not considered to be a talaq. It's not considered to be a divorce. If it takes place according to the lafz, the wording of khul', then it is not a talaq. Meaning that he says, I give you a khul', and he does not say, I divorce you. If she is divorced, then her iddah is three haydas, three menses, and it ends after she is purified from her third menses. And so a khul' is not considered a divorce, and if she was divorced, then this is her iddah.
أحسن الله إليكم حفظكم الله. عندنا عدة الأسئلة ما يتعلق بالخلع والطلاق والفسق. حفظكم الله إذا كان بإمكانكم تبينون لنا هذه الثلاث, يعني الطلاق والخلع والفسق, وما الفرق بين
الخلع يا أخي؟ الخلع هو أن ترد المرأة إلى زوجها ما دفع لها من المهر, والزوج يقول خلعتك وينتهي الموضوع. والفسخ هو ما يجريه الحاكم الشرعي بفسخ نكاح المرأة من زوجها إذا كان تبين له أن الخطأ من الزوج وأن الزوج أبى عن الطلاق, فيتخذ الحاكم الفسخ وسيلة للتفريق بينهما. والطلاق هو الطلاق التلفظ بالطلاق المعروف.
The question here is asking the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala to clarify the difference between a divorce, a khul' and a fasq, which is a nullification of the marriage. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says a khul' is that a woman gives back the mahr to the husband and that the husband says to her, I have given you a khul' or I give you a khul'. A fasq, the nullification, is when the issue is taken to a judge and the judge reaches the conclusion that the error is from the husband, while the husband refuses to divorce his wife. Therefore, the sheikh will give a fasq, a separation, in order to separate between the two. And as far as talaq, divorce, then this is what you know of, that a man says to his wife that she is divorced, you are divorced.
أحسن الله إليكم. وهذا سؤال يقول ما حكم شراء السيارات من الشركات التأمين؟
ما في شيء, كنت أشتري السيارة من شيء, لكني إن التأمين إن استطعت أن أتخلص منه, وإلا إذا دفعت فلا أطالب, لكن لا مانع من شرائه.
الشيخ حفظه الله, he was asked about buying cars from insurance company. Is it okay, permissible for us to buy cars from insurance companies? And the Sheikh replied that there's nothing wrong to buy cars from insurance companies. As far as insurance is concerned, if I can get rid of insurance, then that is okay, and I can. There's nothing wrong to buy a car from insurance companies.
ومشاكلها الصحية تمنعها من استخدام أدوية منع الحمل أو إيجاء الرحم, فهل يجوز للزوج
عيد السؤال؟ عيد السؤال جي. أعيد السؤال.
نعم، السائلة تقول: الزوجة تعاني من مشاكل صحية وحملها قد يحدد حياتها.
إذا كان حملها قد يحدد حياتها بتقرير الأطباء فإنه يجوز إجراء عند ذلك.
ولكنها أيضا الشيخ يعني ما تستطيع استخدام أدوية منع الحمل، فهل يجوز للزوج أنه يقوم بعملية؟
لا، يعني الزوج يقطع النسل؟ لا، نفس
أي.
إذا كان تستطيع تجري الربط، أما الزوج فلا يعقد نفسه، ما يجوز.
أي فماذا تفعل هي وزوجها؟
نعم،
ما نصيحتكم إذا؟
نصيحتي للزوج ألا يفعل، والمرأة إن خشيت الهلاك عن نفسها جاز لها الربط، لكن لا يجوز للزوج أن يعقم نفسه.
نعم، ولكن هي أيضا لا تستطيع، يعني الأطباء يمنعونها باستخدام المنع الحمل وقتها لها أيضا، يعني ما تستطيع.
إذا لا يجوز للزوج أن يعقم نفسه أبدا، ما يجوز.
طيب، نعم.
A sister is asking, if a wife has health problems and her pregnancy may threaten her life while her husband is it permissible for her husband to have an operation that would prevent him from having kids? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that it is not permissible for the man to have an operation that would prevent him from having kids. However, it is permissible for the woman to take the preventatives if her pregnancy would threaten her life and if this is affirmed by the doctors. And then it was said, if the sister or the wife also is unable to take these preventatives, or these preventatives are also a health hazard for her, is it permissible for the husband to have the operation to stop him from having any offspring? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that this is not permissible for the man to do so. So the Shaykh was asked for his advice concerning the matter, and the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said, yes, it is not permissible for him to have this operation that would prevent him from having any children. And if the woman is able to do so, and she has health problems that may threaten her life, then it is permissible for her to do so. However, it is not permissible for a man to have an operation that would cause him to not have any offspring.
أحسن الله إليكم. وهذا سائل يقول: إذا داينت مالا لأحد فهل أدفع على هذا المال؟ هل أدفع زكاة على هذا المال؟
نعم، إذا أقرضته قرضا وأنت والف على يده فزكي.
The Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى was asked, if I lend somebody some money, do I have to pay the zakat on it? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala responded by saying, yes, if you lend a person any money and the time period has come, then you must pay the zakat for that money.
نعم، أحسن الله إليكم. هذه سائلة تقول: هل يجب وجود شهود عند الخلع؟
والله السنة الإشهاد الخلع والطلاق والرجعة.
And a sister is asking, is it an obligation or is it a necessity to have witnesses for a khul'? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that it is a sunnah to have witnesses, whether it is a khul' or a divorce, or whether you are returning to your husband or your husband is returning you.
أحسن الله إليكم. سألني يقول أنه يعاني من الوساوس في عند قراءة للقرآن وتلفظ.
والله يا أخي، الوسواس مرض عضال ومرض سيء، لكن ينبغي علاجه بتجاهله وعدم الاهتمام به. فإن كنت تريد تخلص من الوسواس فأعرض عنه واتركه ولا تنظر إليه ولا تعتبره. أما من دخل الوسواس وتعلقت الوسواس فإنه لا بد أن يقع في مشاكل، فالوسواس علاجه تركه والإعراض عنه.
The Shaykh was asked, the questioner is complaining about waswas, which is whisperings, when he is reading the Quran or while seeking knowledge. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that the waswas, these whisperings, are a terrible disease. and they must be cured by ignoring them and not paying any attention to them. And if you want to rid yourself from these whisperings, then what you must do is ignore them and not even look at them or pay any attention to them. As far as a person who has already been afflicted and is being affected by these whisperings, then he has to exert some effort in doing so and in getting rid of them. And so the cure of getting rid of these whisperings is to leave them alone and to completely ignore them.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. سماحة الشيخ، هذا السائل يقول: بعض أئمة المساجد عندنا يقدحون في عقيدة الشيخ عثيمين رحمه الله وعقيدة الشيخ بن باز والشيخ الألباني، ولكن يعقدون أو يدرسون من فقههم أو يدرسون من كتب الفقه ما ألفوا هؤلاء أئمة، فهل يجب أخذ من علمهم؟
الشيخ بن باز والشيخ بن عثيمين والشيخ الألباني كلهما علماء خير، كلهم أهل فضل وعلم وتقوى، والقدح فيهم والانتقاص منهم أمر لا يجوز. فيجب على المسلم يحترم علماء المسلمين وأن يحفظ دينه ألا تذهب أعمال خسارة من هؤلاء موجهين سبيل الله دعاة إلى الله، أدوا واجبا كبير وألفوا صنفوا ودافعوا عن الإسلام، فيجب أن نحبهم ونستغفر لهم. والله يقول: والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقول ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم.
نعم حفظكم الله. فالسائل يسأل: هم يدرسون من فقه الشيخ عثيمين والألباني والبن باز، فهل يجوز الأخذ من هؤلاء الذين يقدحون فيهم ولكن يأخذون من فقههم؟
المهم ما كان منهم من خطأ من هؤلاء فلا في خطأهم، وإن أصابوا مع صوابهم هؤلاء. أما الشيخ بن باز والعثيمين فإن نراهم على خير، والشيخ الألباني والخطأ خطأ وما أحد معصوم منه، لكن وللحمد هؤلاء دعاة خير وهدى، ينبغي ألا نقدح بهم وأن نكثر ثقة الناس بهم وندعو لهم بالرحمة والمغفرة.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala was asked, some of the imams of some masjids, they criticize the aqidah of Ibn Uthaymeen and Ibn Baz and Al-Albani, rahimahumullah ta'ala, but at the same time they teach their fiqh books. So is it permissible to study from the likes of these people who criticize their aqidah but teach from their fiqh books? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that Ibn Baz and Ibn Uthaymeen and Al-Albani are scholars and they are people of knowledge and virtue and piety, and criticizing them is not permissible, and the Muslims must respect the scholars and respect their scholars and preserve their deen, meaning these people must preserve their deen so that their actions and their righteous actions do not go to waste due to criticizing the scholars. So these scholars that were mentioned, they were great callers to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they established, or they came up with, a tremendous obligation, and they authored many books, and it is an obligation to love them and seek forgiveness for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what translated means, and those who came after, they say, Allah forgive us and forgive those who came before us in iman, and do not make in our hearts any sort of enmity towards those who believe. Our Lord, you are oft forgiving, most merciful. And then the question was repeated: is it permissible to take knowledge from them as they are teaching the fiqh? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said what is important is that these scholars, Ibn Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, Al-Albani, they are upon goodness, and no one is free from error. However, what people must do is supplicate for them and supplicate to Allah that He has mercy over them and forgives them. As for these people, then upon them is their sin.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. وهذا السؤال يقول: هل يجوز لأبناء المؤلف المتوفى أن يدعوا حقوق نشر على مؤلفاته التي لم يكن هو ودعاها على مؤلفاته في حياته؟
ما ينبغي هذا.
Is it permissible for the children of a deceased author to place copyrights over the books that he authored, even though he did not have copyrights over these books during his lifetime, and the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said this is not befitting to do so.
أحسن الله إليكم وجزاكم الله خيرا. هذه السائلة تقول هي يعني شابة ومعاقة وعندها ثلاثة أطفال، فهل يجوز لها أن تستخدم أدوية منع الحمل مؤقتا لتأخذ قسطا من الراحة، وهل للزوج الحق أن يمنعها من ذلك؟
والله عليهما أن يتعاون جميعا بما لا يضرها، لأن لك عند أربع صغار تريد انتظار ثلاث سنوات أربع سنوات من غير ضرر يلحقه، فعلى الزوج أن يراعي هذه المسألة، يعني عليه أن يراعي شأن ضرورة حاجاتها وألا يحملها شيء لا يطيقه.
A sister is she's saying that she has three children and she's asking, is it permissible for her to take contraceptives to prevent her from giving birth temporarily so that she may rest for some time? And is it permissible for her husband to prevent her from doing so? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala responded by saying, it is upon them to cooperate with each other so that neither of them is harmed. She's saying that she has three kids and she wants to wait and she wants to rest, and that is her right, and her husband should consider this, and he should consider her state and consider her needs and not burden her with something that is above her capacity.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. هذا سائل يقول بعد الوضوء يخرج من زاوية عين إفرازات مخافية، فهل
ما تؤثر هذا؟
The Shaykh Hafidahullah, he was asked about mucus and secretion. The question says, if I notice a drainage in the corner of my eyes after making wudu, would that affect my wudu? And the Shaykh Hafidahullah, he answered by saying, no, it would not affect the wudu.
كان عنيفا معها، فهل هذا يعتبر اغتصابا أم لا؟ أفيدونا؟
لا، مو اغتصاب، هذا ما يسمى اغتصاب. لا، اغتصاب حقيقته أن يطع أمره بالحرام، لكن هذا يعني فيه شوية بعض القسوة، ينبغي في هذه الأحوال أن تراعى ظروف الزوجة وحالاتها، ولا الزوجة فرض عليها شيء، يعني ينبغي أن يكون هناك تعاون بينهما ودراسة الظروف الحاضرة حتى ما يكون شيء يعني يسبب القلق والعدم الرضا. نعم.
The questioner asks, a man is forcing his wife to have sexual relations with him, and I believe and he was harsh with her in doing so. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that this is harshness, and a man should consider the state of his wife, and they must cooperate with each other so that nothing of this sort happens that may cause worry. نعم.
هذا السؤال الأخير حفظكم الله حتى لا نطيل عليكم. سأل يسأل ذكر ثلاث أحاديث. حديث الأول، الرجل الذي قتل 99 نفسا ثم تاب الله عليه، ما صحة حديث وما
هذا في البخاري رجل من قبلنا قتل 99 فجاء لعالم فقال له فقال لا فقاتل وكما به 100 ثم دل على عالم آخر فقال من يحول بينكم التوبة ارجب اخرج عن أرضك إلى أرض كذا فخرج عن هذه القرية فأتركه الموت في الطريق فاختصرنا رحمة في العذاب تقول رحمتي إنه تائب وتقول إنه قاتل فقال أنزل الله من يحكم بينهما فقال قيسوا ما بين الأرضين فوجدوا إلى أرض الصلاة أقرب وفي إلى نعاب جسمه فغفر الله له.
And this is the last question. The questioner is asking about the authenticity of the hadith of the man who killed 99 people and then made Tawbah. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said, yes, this hadith is authentic. It is in Sahih al-Bukhari, where a man killed 99 people and then he went to ask a scholar, can he repent? And the scholar said, no, you cannot repent. There is no Tawbah for the person who kills 99. So he killed him and he completed it with 100 people. Then he went to another scholar and he said, do I have any tawbah? Can I repent? And he said, yes, you can repent and travel to such and such a land where the that is not evil. So he started traveling, and within during his travels he died, and the angels disputed, is he going to go to hell or is he going to go to heaven? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, measure the distance. If he is closer to the city that he is traveling to, then he goes to heaven. And if he is closer to the city that he's traveling from, then he goes to hell. And they found that he was going, he was closer to the city that he was traveling to, and he was forgiven.
أحسن الله إليكم. وهذا حديث ثاني يسأل عن صحة وأيضا فوائد من هذا الحديث. المرأة التي دخلت نار بحضرتها لا أطعمها ولا سقطها.
هذا حديث يدل على ما جاء به الإسلام من الرزق بالحيوان. فالإسلام جاء بالرب حتى مع الحيوان. ولهذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء. فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا قتلة، وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا ذبحة، وليحد أحدكم شفرته وليذبح ذبيحته. وأخبر أن النار دخلت امرأة به وحبستها، لا هي أطعمتها ولا تركتها تكون من الأرض. النبي تعذبه بصر الكسوف. وكذلك جاء بالحديث الصحيح أن بغي من إسرائيل ويسأل يطيب البيع في البيت، قال لقد بلغ به العزم بلغ به، نجدوا موقعها من الماء فسقته فشكر الله لها. ورجل جاء إصابه العطش فجاء لابن فشرب، ثم خرج وإذا كلب يطوف يلحق يلعقد ترى من الظما، فنزل فملأ خفي ماء وأمسكها بريحة سقى الكلب فشكر الله له فغفر له. قالوا أولا يبقى بأجر، قال إن في كل كبد رب أجر.
And another question was asked, what are the benefits of the hadith of the woman who entered the hellfire for not feeding a cat and not letting the cat go free to find its own food? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala responded saying that this shows that Islam is a religion of forgiveness and kindness. And Islam legislated kindness and forgiveness even to animals. And yes, so Islam encourages kindness to animals as well. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written goodness and kindness in everything. So if you were to slaughter, then slaughter with goodness and kindness, or with proficiency. And one of you should sharpen his knife and put the animal he's going to slaughter at ease. And in another hadith, that a woman, as was mentioned, entered the hellfire for imprisoning a cat and not feeding the cat and not letting the cat go free so that it may find its own food. So she entered the hellfire due to that, which shows the kindness that Islam encourages towards animals. And in another authentic hadith, a woman from the people of the book saw a thirsty dog. So she said, this dog is as thirsty as I am. So she went down to the well and gave this dog something to drink, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was grateful for that and rewarded her. And in another hadith, a man went down the well and had something to drink. When he came up, he saw a dog panting out of thirst. So he went back down to the well and brought something to drink, brought some water for the dog to drink, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was grateful and forgave him all his sins.
نعم أحسن الله إليكم. وأيها الإخوة الأفاضل، وبهذا قد انتهينا من لقاء هذا اليوم. وفي نهاية هذا اللقاء المبارك الطيب لا يسعنا إلا أن نشكر سماحة الشيخ على إتاحة هذه الفرصة، ونسأل الله جل وعلا
وأنا معكم إن شاء الله دائما وأبدا إن شاء الله.
جزاكم الله
إن شاء الله متعاون دائما إن شاء الله.
بارك الله فيكم، حفظكم الله شيخ، جزاكم الله خير.